Welcome to Blood Moon Milk, the astrology podcast that aims to help demystify the astrological transits to help you on your journey for mindfulness, meditation, and manifestation. I'm your host, Aurora. The last half of April is action-packed, and it happens to have one of the most anticipated astrological aspects of the entire year. Wondering what it is? Well, I'll tell you. We have the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, a major, major astrological event occurring on April 20th. This bad boy only happens every 13 or 14 years, depending on the retrograde cycles. The last time this happened was January 4th, 2011, when Jupiter and Uranus met up in the sign of Pisces at 27 degrees. Now, Piscean energy is very different from where we'll see the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction take place this year. However, it's worth looking back at what happened then to understand how we might see dramatic changes and events occur around the time of this conjunction. So Piscean energy is energy that's very spiritual and emotional. And what we saw was a sort of revolution of the spirit, which mostly was centered around the Middle East. And some people look to this astrological conjunction to point to the beginning of what we now refer to as the Arab Spring. So let's look back at some of the news headlines from right around January 4th, 2011, to understand the kinds of things that happened during the last Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, to be able to kind of understand what we might expect during this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. However, it's with the caveat that it's in a different sign and all of the planets have changed. However, I mean, changed in terms of they're in different places astrologically, to get us ready, to get us kind of primed for understanding the dramatic types of events that might be unfolding around us on the media over the next few days, that can ripple out to weeks and months from now, because we are on the precipice of some dramatic shifts in energy. So let's get into it. In Punjab, India, the governor of Punjab province, Pakistan, was assassinated on January 4th, 2011. He was a close ally of the president of Pakistan, and he was shot getting into his car. It was an elite force security guard named Malik Mumtaz Hussain Quadri who shot him, but he was immediately apprehended after the shooting. Shortly thereafter, in Tunisia, after 23 years of authoritarian rule, President Ben Ali fled Tunisia for Saudi Arabia amid widespread protests. The Prime Minister Mohamed Ghannouchi announced that he would take over. And it's also the first time a president of an Arab country had been overthrown because of widespread protesting. And this was around January 4th, 2011. So in Lebanon, on January 12th, the government toppled there. Hezbollah and its allies withdrew from the Lebanese government, breaking a unity government that had been in place since 2009. 11 of the 30 cabinet members resigned, and the government there had been in turmoil since 2005, when former Prime Minister Rafik Hariri was assassinated. In Egypt, the Egyptian president asked the army to intervene after days of violent protest. If you'll remember, the president Hosni Mubarak called the army into the streets of Cairo to stop demonstrators protesting government corruption, the economy, and lack of personal freedom. Those involved called this a day of wrath, and the protest stretched on for 4 days. And we went on to see major, major changes in the region. But it all kind of started around this January 4th Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in the sign of Pisces at 27 degrees. This year's conjunction is in the sign of Taurus, the fixed earth sign that rules financial markets and real estate. I'll say that again in case you missed it, so you can get a chance to really think about the bigger picture here. This year's Jupiter-Uranus conjunction is in the sign of Taurus, and because of that, it's very likely to set off a sequence of events that will affect both financial markets and real estate, potentially land ownership. Taurus governs material possessions, stability, tangible assets, which include property. And because Taurus desires security and comfort through physical means, I think that we're going to see developments in the way that people can accomplish this goal for themselves through revolutionary ideas coming to play. There's already been some kind of developments happening around this. In the United States, there was some news relatively recently where the real estate commission fee was changed. 6% is no longer the rate that real estate agents can charge as a commission for buying or selling a home. This has been the rate historically for years. And so a change in this rate really does start to shift up how affordable things are, or maybe those commissions will go up. We don't really know yet. It seems like it's something that can be negotiated. But also, we're in a housing crisis. Housing affordability in a lot of places is at all-time lows. And jobs, wages just kind of haven't been keeping up with how much it costs to buy a property for a lot of people. So there's also been a huge, huge, huge increase in the amount of homes that have been purchased by corporations versus homes that have been purchased by individuals to have as homes. These assets have been thought of more as financial instruments and investments versus, abodes for a single family who want to live in a particular home and love it and develop it. Grow their families there. They're being thought of as line items on a spreadsheet in a corporate office somewhere. And that has also really affected the average person's ability to be able to get on the housing ladder. A recent study published by Georgia State said that 11% of Atlanta's rental housing was owned by just 3 companies. That's collectively around 19,000 rental properties. And that can collectively alter and drive up the price of rental housing and its affordability for the average person in the metro area. So it's things like this that are coming to light that have me going, how are things going to change? How are people going to rebel against this? Because in the sign of Taurus, this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction really does lead to rebellion of some sort. Uranus is, I want to throw off the shackles of the way things have been. This is restrictive. We can do something different and something better. So how is that going to show up and what is that going to look like? Because as long as major corporations are allowed to invest in rental properties en masse like this, wealth opportunities and opportunities to build wealth as a young family just starting out is kind of taken away from you. Instead, wealth is being extracted from these people and being redistributed to shareholders instead of the individual being able to grow wealth over time and as their equity grows in their home. So that's just one thing that I've been thinking about in regards to this particular astrological transit. So it'll be interesting to see how things play out. There could also be radical developments where agriculture and food production is concerned, as Mercury is square to Ceres, the asteroid goddess of grain production and the harvest during this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. Now, squares are challenging energetic cycles, but challenges always, always present us with an opportunity. You just have to be looking for a way to make lemonade out of lemons, or maybe in this case, barley water, since Ceres is the goddess of grain. My UK listeners will know what I'm talking about with in regards to barley water. I don't think my American audience really knows what that is, but that's okay. It's good. It's also worth noting that the moon will be at 29 degrees of Virgo, and that's almost exactly opposite from Neptune at 28 degrees of Pisces during the entirety of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which lasts only about an hour. But this aspect can create a tug of war, a kind of tension between the need for order and the desire to dissolve or escape into a more ethereal or even chaotic experience. Virgo rules health, and its moon may heighten the awareness of body and dietary needs. Opposite Neptune, there could be a tendency to either idealize a new health regimen or even neglect practical health needs due to distractions or confusion. But it's an excellent time to be cautious about health advice or, practices that just seem too good to be true. So avoid going overboard at the moment. There could be a sort of frenzy. The image that comes to mind is sharks sensing like chum in the water and the water getting all stirred up and frothy, people getting really excited and with sort of bloodlust even. But just try to remain calm. Try to find your center in the midst of all the chaos, because whenever Uranus is concerned, there's always some kind of sense of chaos here. But with Mercury squared a Ceres, that really points to something going on with food and dietary restrictions, maybe agricultural harvest. Maybe there's a lack or a challenge getting good food or a break in food production pipelines. So that could be disrupted for some reason. But there's also the idea that, with Jupiter-Uranus conjunctions, it's just time for a seismic shift. There's a shock to the system that can seemingly come from nowhere. And this could be literal earth-shaking events as well, because Taurus is the sign of fixed earth. And in Taurus, Uranus is unpredictable, the wild card that literally has the ability to shake up the earth. And we have seen an increase in earthquakes recently. There was one in New York, which is very, very rare. There was a big one in Taiwan. So maybe there's a literal earth moving event that could disrupt food production pipelines. Don't go overboard, but be reasonable. But maybe when you go to the grocery store this week, maybe stock up slightly more than you normally do, just in case. I don't think that whatever happens is likely to be disruptive indefinitely, but you might want to be prepared for the unexpected, just in case. This transit could also spark some pioneering ideas or technologies that revolutionize how resources are used or managed. Think new ways of generating wealth or sustainable technologies that change how we interact with the environment. This could be reflected in development with agriculture, since Taurus is an earth sign and the sign most associated with planting and planning for the future. Jupiter and Uranus can also influence shifts in what you value on a personal and collective level right now. There may be a marked shift away from materialistic values and towards those that prioritize freedom, individuality, or sustainability. There could be a premium placed on freedom, on self-sufficiency, and maybe the ability to provide yourself in non-traditional ways with that Uranian influence. And when we think about conjunctions, we have to think about the two planets involved, right? And typically, the slower moving planet has the most influence, since it takes him longer to make his way through the zodiac. And so while Jupiter is definitely a heavy hitter, and it certainly is the biggest planet in the solar system, he moves pretty quickly. He goes through a sign about every year and a half, depending on retrograde, where Uranus is much slower moving. So his influence will be felt even more so than expansive Jupiter's. And Uranus is the revolutionary. And so that means there's likely to be big news on Saturday, April 20th, and the headlines are likely to be shocking. So take a look at your natal chart and see where 21, 22 degrees of Taurus lands in your chart, because that's where this conjunction's happening. And take note if it hits anything, opposes anything, or squares anything. Make any kind of contact with your natal planets at all. And I would also, just for the time being, advise making any speculative, rash money moves in the markets for the next few weeks. as volatility is likely to be very high. This event will likely send us a wave of events that we'll witness and feel the fallout over for a very long time. So try to stay grounded. Remember, you can take a media break if you need to. Okay, so let's take a music break of our own, and we'll be right back to talk about the next big event on the horizon, the Scorpio full moon. This is the track Taurus by Jack Spin off the album Zodiac 3. We'll be right back. Let's talk about this big, beautiful Scorpio full moon. It's the next big event that follows just 3 days after the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction on April 20th. So the full moon's on April 23rd with the full moon in Scorpio at 4 degrees. So, which, by the way, is conjunct my natal Venus, so I'm pretty much directly in the crosshairs of whatever is going on astrologically during this time. So stay tuned, everyone, and I'll let you know what kind of shit show unfolds for me when it happens, because dear old Pluto is at 2 degrees square to this full moon in Scorpio. So two fixed signs, fixed planet, like very powerful planets, Pluto in Aquarius at 2 degrees is very, very intense fixed air sign energy squaring this full moon. So when two fixed energies are beaming at each other, one thing has to kind of crumble and fall apart. And the moon is definitely a weaker influence than Pluto. So Pluto brings destruction. It brings transformation after that destruction, though. So it's the shedding of something that we no longer need, something that no longer serves us to our highest and our best. Being able to let that stuff go in order to make room for more fertile, better, more aligned opportunities. The full moon's in Scorpio, which is ruled by Pluto, by the way. So it kind of suggests that whatever we might be losing, and in the sign of Scorpio, that suggests there's an element of control here and an element of clinging to something that maybe is really outlived its useful life to us, but we're just reluctant to let go because it's our comfort zone. It's what we're used to. It's what we know and love, and maybe what we're passionate about. Maybe it's what we are comfortable obsessing about even. But Pluto's here to say, let it go. Let it go and you know, heal from that loss, because it does suggest an element of loss. So as I look at the ruling planet of Scorpio squaring the full moon in the sign of Scorpio, even though I'm talking about Pluto here being in Aquarius, even though Pluto is now transiting Aquarius, it's suggesting that this is kind of meant to be on some level. This shedding of what no longer serves you is absolutely right in terms of divine timing to open you up to something higher, better, more aligned for you. So just keep that in mind. If you find yourself going through the ringer, and I'm probably going to be one of those people going through the ringer just because of this full moon being smack dab on my natal Venus, it will likely feel very emotional in some way to me, either in regards to my non-existent love life or my finances or, you know, taxes, death, all of the above. So that's something I'm going to try to internalize. But even though we can be in the crosshairs of an astrological event, that doesn't mean that we have an out in terms of giving ourselves a pass on showing up. And what do I mean by that? I mean that just because something bad happens to befall you, that doesn't give you an excuse to behave badly to other people, especially when people show up to help you, show up to nurture you, hold your hand through the tough times. No, I think real growth comes from accepting the things you can't control and taking direction towards improving the things that you can. And so if you happen to be one of those people like myself with a planet at or near 4 degrees Scorpio during this full moon, look for the things you can focus on and improve and make better. Because when we do that, when we shift our focus, when we shift our energy from, oh my God, I can't believe this thing happened, holy shit, to, okay, this happened and I accept it. Now, what's going to make me feel better? Where can I shift my energy of gratitude? I'm so glad it wasn't worse. I'm so glad I have, you know, all my body parts. I'm so glad, you know, and the list can go on and on and on from there. But as soon as you make that shift, then you get to really harness and be in control and in the driver's seat of your own transformation as a result of whatever bit of chaos the universe tends to throw at you. So, like I said earlier in the podcast, oppositions and squares are challenging astrological aspects, but every single challenge brings an opportunity for growth with it. You just have to be really, really willing to look for it and also, in a way, surrender to it, because things just are outside of our control, largely, most of the time. But when I look back at my own life, and I've had plenty of turmoil in my history, believe me, it's the challenges that have made me grow the strongest. It's the challenges that have made me grow the wisest, the fastest. And I'm not saying that I am the wisest or the fastest person. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that wisdom has come most quickly in times of challenge and adversity. So it's really leaning in to the things that maybe don't feel comfortable initially, but then asking yourself, well, how do I take the highest road here? How do I stand in my integrity, even if nobody else is willing to? Because most people, I mean, a lot of people aren't willing to be individuals who stand in their integrity when the going gets tough. They take the easy way out, whatever that is. But that's not where growth comes from. Growth is painful. But that doesn't mean that it's not worth it. Because when you grow, you get a higher perspective and you have a deeper sense of peace and well-being when you get there. If this full moon feels particularly intense, and it's likely to since it's so close to this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction only 3 days later. Where, I mean, you can tell we're in this sort of window portal time period where things are going to happen quickly. There will be rapid developments and they'll be more or less out of our control. So, but this is not a time to adopt or embrace victim mentality. And astrological aspects and your own natal chart are really no excuse for poor behavior. I can't tell you how much it drives me crazy when somebody says, oh, well, my, you know, Aries rising means that I'm just aggressive, so you have to deal with it. No. You have free will. You have the ability to recognize your tendencies and rise above them. But sorry to digress there. So this full moon suggests there's an intense rebirth, an intense transformation, an illumination on something that might have been hidden, something coming to light that no longer, that was hidden in some way and now we're able to see it. Scorpio is a sign that represents the themes of sex, money. So again, that Taurus Scorpio axis that we're talking about this episode, that also pertains to that Jupiter Uranus conjunction, the financial side of things, sex, money, death even. So there could be news in regards to people passing away in some way. Or this could be more than anything, most likely it's a metaphorical death, the death of something as we know it. Also, it's worth noting that America is still in the midst of its Pluto return. And I'll do a later episode on that too when it gets to be closer to finishing up. But we've been in the midst of it for some time now. But it suggests that we're in this period of volatile intensity, transformation, change, abrupt, unexpected developments that seemingly come from nowhere that invite us to evolve. Shed the things that no longer serve us, leave our old, you know, dusty snake skin behind, and emerge shiny and new and ready for the next big adventure. So I've already mentioned the moon's at 4 degrees Scorpio. Pluto is squaring that at 2 degrees of Aquarius. Let's go ahead and just remind ourselves where the other planets are during this Scorpio full moon. So we have Mercury. He's in retrograde in the sign of Aries at 16 degrees, very close to the North Node, by the way. So there could be messages from people from our past that come. Again, Aries energy is aggressive, it's abrupt, it's also independent and pioneering, where the North Node is destiny. It's inviting us to embrace challenges, to level up, to become independent or become leaders in your own right. So there could be messages about leaving toxic situations, for example, that call on you to empower yourself, to take that step in self-sovereignty. Chiron is also very close to Mercury retrograde. He's at 20 degrees Aries, closely conjunct Venus at 23 degrees Aries. So we've got this whole cluster of planets in Aries also that is inviting us to step into our sovereignty and to our own sense of destiny and leadership. And maybe that's through leaving something behind, suggested by this full moon in Scorpio. And Scorpio is the, I've said it before on the podcast in much older episodes, but Scorpio is the most intense sign of the zodiac. It wants nothing less than 100% devotion and soul commitment. And anything less than that just makes it feel like it's not good enough or betrayed. Those are the two feelings. So if it doesn't, if you're not living up to Scorpio standards, and Scorpio has standards that are just as high as Virgo's, except for it wants complete submission from its partners, which can be pretty sexy, you know, depending on what you're into. So let's keep going where the planets are. So we've got Mercury retrograde at 16 degrees Aries, Chiron there at 20 degrees Aries. Then 3 degrees from that, we've got Venus in Aries at 23 degrees. And we have the Sun, 4 degrees of Taurus opposite the Moon at 4 degrees Scorpio, Uranus, 21 degrees Taurus, Jupiter at 22. He'll move a whole, like a half degree. It'll be 22 degrees, 29 minutes of Taurus. So he's moving pretty quickly in the sign of Taurus right now, but this is just 3 days after that big conjunction. So he's still very, very closely aligned with Uranus right now. So unpredictable events that are coming out of nowhere are certainly still very much possible right now. We also have Saturn in Pisces at 15 degrees. Mars is still in Pisces. So Mars in Pisces is very peaceful. It's the sign of the pacifist, where Mars in Aries is all about aggression and forward movement and getting stuff done. Mars in Pisces is the dreamer. It wants to do things that are intrinsically like uplifting to the spirit, peaceful, and it's the humanitarian. It wants to give to others. It's very altruistic, sort of self-sacrificing energy. And lastly we have Neptune at 28 degrees of Pisces, which interestingly enough, if you remember at the beginning of the episode, that's where the last Jupiter, very close to where the last Jupiter Uranus conjunction happened in 2011. I think it was 27 degrees of Pisces, but still very close, right in that neck of the woods there. So that's where all the planets are during this full moon. I think there's a lot of tension in the air. There's some ease going on, but mostly I think we're being called to level up as a society. So how is that going to show up for you? How can you use this time to meditate, get aligned, manifest your dreams? We'll talk about that when we come back. Thank you. So I love being able to play music on the show, and you would know that if you've been a longtime listener, but if you're a musician and have any music you think would work well for the podcast, or know somebody who might be a good fit musically, feel free to send them my way. Also, if you love astrology and want to know more about the day's most important transits and support your favorite astrology podcast, subscribe to The Daily Dose. You can do that by heading over to the website at bloodmoonmilk.com and clicking on Daily Dose in the sidebar. Hit that subscribe button, and for the price of a nice cup of coffee, I'll be happy to give you access to the daily email newsletter I write and send out Monday through Friday, with the weekend edition on Friday that goes over the most important aspects of the day to help you learn astrology a little bit at a time and make the most of your time. That is the most valuable, important thing that astrology can offer, because you can make money. There's plenty of that out there, but we only have 24 hours in a day, and how you use that day is incredibly important to your general health, well-being, and knowing when it's a good time to do something is what astrology is best at. So sign up for the Daily Dose and support your favorite astrology podcast. Okay, let's get into crystals and questions for mindfulness, meditation, and manifestation. So Taurus is ruled by the planet Venus, and we're talking about Taurus because of that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction at 21 degrees of the sign of Taurus. But Taurus is ruled by Venus, who is currently in the sign of Aries. And because of Venus's current place in Aries, the loving heart energy of Venus can get a little impulsive, and it can get a little stuck in its head. So, I mean, it's in its head a lot, and then it just decides to act really rapidly, and then kind of throws caution to the wind. So to help ease any issues of overthinking issues of the heart, I suggest we use some selenite and black tourmaline. This is my suggested crystal combo to use right now during the conjunction between Uranus and Jupiter. It helps to calm things down. It's a pacifier. It makes things feel lighter and easier and cleaner. While when we talk about the full moon in Scorpio, I suggest both selenite and tourmaline, black tourmaline. That's because during this full moon, the full moon's in Scorpio and it's ruled by Pluto, who's currently in Aquarius, very dry, analytical, almost harsh energy in some ways. Pluto in Aquarius is focused on the facts, where Scorpio is famously intense when it comes to emotions. So this combination can suggest that the current rulership of Scorpio can make things preoccupied with facts when it comes to matter of the heart. Has somebody wronged you or had an issue showing up in your relationship? Or is maybe they're just not appropriately emotionally available? This combination can encourage people with strong Scorpio energy in their charts to evaluate facts and maybe disregard how they wish they felt in lieu of severing ties. So people can be like done with the relationship or situationship, getting rid of it. Conversely, the facts might suggest the good far outweighs the bad, and they can be convinced to overlook a certain amount of disappointment right now. So using the tools of selenite and black tourmaline can help to ground us, and black tourmaline can act as a grounding energy that vacuums up negative energies that are maybe floating around in the flotsam and jetsam of the energy stream in your area around you. So it helps to create a sort of cloud of peacefulness and calm wherever you are. So here are my questions for mindfulness, meditation, and manifestation during this time. First, we'll start with Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. And since Taurus rules the throat chakra and our values, it's important to get clear on what matters to you and speak it into truth. Make a list. It can go something like this. Integrity matters to me. Closeness and a romantic partner matters to me. Investing in good people matters to me. This list can go on and on as long as you wish, but make sure you say it. Make sure you speak it into existence, into the universe, because the universe is listening. Next, we have the full moon in Scorpio. This is all about shedding. What is it that you're shedding? It's probably the thing you're clinging on to the most. How would it feel to be unburdened by it? What if you did a little thought experiment, and what if you were to place that issue aside and just walk away for a little while? How light would your being feel if you were no longer burdened by this problematic issue? And instead of wrestling with yourself and saying, well, that's not possible, you know, that's fine. But just for the sake of this mental exercise, take the burden and set it aside and walk away and embrace the feeling of lightness that comes with letting it go. Feel this lightness from the top of your head melting down to the bottom of your feet. Align yourself with that sense and vibration of freedom and relief. Vibe in it as long as possible and come back to it as often as you can. Transformation begins with feeling it in your bones, feeling whatever feeling it is you want to manifest in the 3D material reality. Okay, that's it from me for this episode. My theme music was written and performed by the talented Adam McIntyre. And if you want a private astrology session with me, you can email me at Aurora, that's Aurora with an H, A-U-R-O-R-A-H, at bloodmoonmilk.com. And I'll be happy to get you on the books. Also, feel free to reach out with me with any questions, comments, or concerns, or potential media opportunities. I'm still just getting back in the swing of podcasting and would love to hear from my listeners. This is why I do it. I'm here doing this to support you, and I love to hear from you. So thank you so much, and until next time, I wish you all the best the stars have to offer. This is the song Sex, Money, Feelings, Die from Likey Lee off the album So Sad, So Sexy, playing us out.
Late night, call you in the late night. Trade love for one night. Two pills and a red one. Circle round, now I don't mind. The words that you don't say. No love when you hold me. No calling the next day. It's the one way, no. And now the sun is up, I'm coming down.
Nobody nowhere, I'm nobody nowhere.
We just blow it up, blow it out.
Sex, money, feels bad.
Baby, don't you cry.
Sex, money, feels bad.
Baby, don't you cry.
Sex, money, feels bad.
Ladies on my right. Afraid of the sunlight. Not okay to be alright. Two lines, one time. Every night, every weekend, weeknight. Oh my. Lights off when I wake up. Tears under my makeup. Your lips will stay shut. When I wake up, break up. I don't wanna think about you. Drink up, I'm so fucked up. All I want is you. No, I don't wanna think about you. Drink up, I'm so fucked up.
Sex, money, feels bad.
Baby, don't you cry.
Sex, money, feels bad.
Baby, don't you cry.
Sex, money, feels bad.
Ladies on my right.
Sex, money, feels bad.
Sex, money, feels bad.
Sex, money, feels bad.
All night.
All of these nights, sex, money, lights.
All night.
All night. All of these nights, sex, money, lights.
Sex.